Jesus, just I just want to thank you and just say you're amazing, and that I love you, and I thank you today for making that decision many days ago to carry out in the garden your Father's will and to die on the cross for me and for all of my kind, Lord. I just thank you for that. Jesus, I just give you worship, and I just say thank you. I'm not worthy to even speak about you or to you, but because of your grace, Lord, so I just thank you. I pray that anyone listening will be blessed. In your name I pray, amen. Hi, this is Michael Ryan. Welcome to Knowing Jesus. You can find me on letsworshipjesus.com or Knowing Jesus Audio Booze on any iTunes search query. I want to go and jump into Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to be reading it from the Amplified Version. I've been really finding some deeper ways to see the scriptures by using Amplified. So I've been bouncing through between that and some other versions, but I've been on the Amplified, and I just want to go over into Philippians 3, and really, what I want to read in it, I'll give you the verses in a second, it just indicates the significance of Jesus Christ being our whole walk. Not being like Christ, or not beating ourselves up because we're not good enough, or not feeling good about the successes we had in our life. So whether it be good things or bad things, putting no confidence in the flesh, our whole entire being and joy and peace must be on intimately knowing Jesus Christ more and more and more. And how do you do that? Well, I believe that I'm still growing in that. I'm still growing in that, but some of the things that I can say that really help me to personally and intimately become more attuned to our Master Jesus is to obey Him. And when I don't obey Him, I feel horrible. I feel like I disconnected. So obedience to Jesus is really important in intimacy. And reading and opening up the scriptures, you know, it's such a blessing that we have the scriptures to testify of Jesus and to point to Him and lift Him up, and we really should be reading it every day. And I don't read it every day the way I should, and I noticed that has an impact as well on my intimacy. And I believe prayer has a huge impact on getting to know Jesus and making prayer a fabric of my day. And I encourage you, make that a fabric of your day. Speaking to Jesus, recognizing what He's did. I mean, you know, I was speaking to one of my clients, he's a 7-year-old boy, and I was teaching him about prayer. And I was saying to him, you know, prayer is very simple. Prayer is having a conversation with the person of God. It's simple. The same way you speak to me or your mother, it's just He's a real person. And I say that now, and I even say it for myself, is that we have such a wonderful treat that Jesus Christ is a real person. God is a person. He has feelings, He has emotions, He listens, He's attentive, He gets upset, He laughs, He's happy, He's joyful. We know all these things because He's given us the scriptures to show us about Him. But God is, He's a person. And we can talk to Him. He can delight in us. And He can delight on us having a conversation. So that's such an important. And another thing I think is important, lastly, is ministry. Being able to share Him with other people. Somehow, some way, I find that it creates an intimacy between us. That me going out and sharing the gospel really helps me to feel like I'm close to Him. Even if I start out not feeling close to Him, it helps. So I just wanted to encourage you, really just build your intimacy up with Jesus, know Him, And I'd like to just add to that verse 8 in chapter 3 of Philippians. And just pay attention to this verse, because Paul is really talking about intimacy with Jesus here. And, you know, this is my aim here. This is my aim, to be feeling these things about Jesus and to be just expressing it. So I hope you're blessed by this, but check it out. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "Yes, furthermore, I count everything, and I'm adding in good or bad, popular or unpopular, things I like or things I don't like, imperfections or things that I think I'm perfect in, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege." Okay, I'm going to start that again. "Yes, furthermore, I count everything, good or bad, as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and of progressively, continually, becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding Him more fully and clearly." Wow, it's a lot to chew on. "For His sake, I have lost everything and consider it all to be rubbish, garbage, refuse, dregs, in order that I may win or gain Christ, the Anointed One." That is such a powerful verse. Powerful, powerful, powerful. And if that's just something that maybe you can just take to devotion and just chew on it, I'm going to continue to chew on it for the day, and try to find verses like it, because this, I believe, is the core nugget of your faith and my faith. This walk, which is tough, this walk, which is filled with internal conflicts and internal battles, the spirit raging against the flesh, our desire to do good, but our inclination to do evil instead. We have a walk that is very hard and complicated, and sometimes we can get so focused on how complicated and how difficult the walk is. And I believe that we're not called to focus on the walk, but we're called to focus on Jesus Christ. And that may seem kind of, you know, weird, but it's something that I'm starting to understand. I was speaking to my wife about it this morning, that focusing on changing an issue is not nearly as essential, I'm coming to see, as just focusing on Jesus Christ and drawing closer to Him. And that is a transformative process in of itself. The end goal not being to grow, the end goal not being to change, but the end goal being able to personally know Him more fully, as indicated here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. So I just would encourage you today to make it your aim, today and every single day, to know Him, to really understand that Jesus, God, the personhood of God, He is real, and He can be known, and He can be understood more and more and more, and that we can please Him, and that He is very fond of you and I, that He made it personal between you and I by allowing Himself to be tortured, screaming, in agony, thinking about you and I as He laid down His life, so that we could enjoy this relationship. So maybe that's something that we really should be devoting our time and attention to. And that's what I'm encouraging you to do. So I pray that you're blessed by this, and I hope that you're encouraged to really prioritize knowing Jesus. In Matthew chapter 5, there's actually a verse also. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. It just came to me. I wasn't going to read it, but I just decided that I would. It's when he's talking about not being anxious. And I think that there's something pretty good about that verse that also kind of ties into what we were saying right now. It's actually in chapter 6. But just this idea of what should the priority be in the midst of a Christian life that's difficult, in the midst of internal battles, in the midst of some real heaviness that comes on in our hearts, some bondage, some addictions that we may or may not be in, that all every one of us has an addiction. But in the midst of all those things, what should the priority be? Should the priority even be in changing those things? Should the priority even be in growing? I mean, in Matthew chapter 6, in verses 27, 28, above and beyond, he says, you know, don't even worry about what you're going to eat. Don't even worry about, like, don't even worry about natural stuff. Things that you need to survive, don't worry about that. So maybe he's trying to communicate something to you and I that the most essential thing is not trying to change or not trying to be better people. The most essential thing is seeking him. And he says that in verse 32. I'll read verse 32 and verse 33 because I think they connect. But he says, for the Gentiles, unbelievers, heathens, they wish for and crave and diligently seek all these things. Now, you can say all these things. You can put food, shelter, desires to be met, personal desires to be met, wants, needs. You can also say that even unbelievers, people who don't know God, because some people who are unbelievers, they're not always after just carnal things necessarily. They may be unbelievers who are into having peace or pursuing to be changed, to be different people. You know, there's all types of things. But whether you're an unbeliever or not, people who aren't seeing God, people who aren't seeing the Lord, they may concern themselves and crave and diligently seek things that aren't a priority. Jesus is saying even the Gentiles, they're wishing for, they're craving for, they're diligently seeking these essentials that they think are essentials. But let me tell you something. He says, your Father knows well that you need them all. Everything you want, God knows what you need or what you don't need. But then he rephrases it. And he rephrases it and he says something I think that's just even more significant. He's like, let me reframe for you what ought to be a priority. Let me reframe for you where you ought to be thinking. Even if it means that you may not eat today, even if it means that you may not think about where you're going to put in your plate or how you're going to pay your bill, that may seem really important, but can I tell you what's really important? And he says in verse 33, but seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And then all these things taken together will be given you besides. And I think that's piggybacking off of what I've been talking about with you here of just striving after Jesus and his kingdom, his righteousness. I mean, really, it's the gospel. I mean, Jesus was, he was speaking to them there, but they didn't understand the concept of the gospel yet because it had not fully been revealed. Well, Jesus is the revelation. He himself is the good news and what he's done, what he's going to do at that point because he didn't do it yet. But they didn't have a full picture of the cross being born again. They didn't have that full picture that we have it. So now we can read this and we know his kingdom. We know his righteousness means his death and his resurrection and us being new believers, him implanting his spirit inside of us. And that we should be seeking all those things to know that more intimately, to get more acquainted with him and his ways, his doing of things, what he wants. That ought to be our essential. So I thought that that was a good verse to help piggyback off that. But in any case, I hope that you were blessed by this and that you take it to heart to know him. He says in Revelation chapter 3 that, you know, I come and I knock, I stand at the door and I knock, you know. Anyone who opens it, I will come in and dine with them. Well, Jesus is about relationship. He really is. He says it in Revelation chapter 3. Go dig through it. I can't remember the specific verse, but he does say, you know, I'm here waiting for you. I'm at the door of your heart knocking. open it and let me come and have fellowship with you. Let me come sit down and grab a meal with you. I mean, what kind of God do we have that his biggest desire is to be known by us, is to have a relationship with us? He's not interested in just blatant law following and just, you know, mindless obedience. He's interested in a real relationship. So I think that's pretty special. Anyway, Lord Jesus, I just thank you for this new life in you. I thank you for your ability to overcome the flesh. I thank you for your forgiveness, for your mercy, for your grace. Lord, I pray for anyone who may be feeling just beat up by their flesh, beat up by things that they are doing or not doing. I just ask that Lord, that anyone listening, and including myself, would just be more enamored with you and how you started this love story with your own blood. So just thank you for that, Lord Jesus. In your name, I pray. Amen.